I see something has happened here with the recording, and I'm sorry about that. I don't know how it has happened, but everything I just said was not recorded. Okay. Now it is being recorded, and the basic thing that I said is there's the Iran issue, the COVID issue, the social unrest issue, the runoff issue, the fraudulent attempt to point out non-existent frauds. Those are at issue. And I just briefly summarize, because a few moments have gone by with non-recording. But now we seem to be okay. And we will use
Michael,
the yes.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to let you know that I recorded on start, and I believe so did Joe and Michael S. So
Okay,
it may be.
I just that'd be good. Just Michael and I have discovered that when my recording, the original fails, they all fail. So let's hope that you are correct.
Oh, okay.
Okay, all righty. Anyway, you get the idea, everybody. Attention is still needed by the esoterically inclined students to uphold the values which are emergent soul values and not the values of the selfish personality. So, great invocation number two. Let the lords of liberation issue forth. Let them bring succor to the sons of men. Let the rider from the secret place come forth and coming save. Come forth, O mighty one. Let the souls of men awaken to the light. And may they stand with massed intent. Let the fiat of the Lord go forth. The end of woe has come. Come forth, O mighty one. The hour of service of the saving force has now arrived. Let it be spread abroad. O mighty one, let light and love and power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The will to save is here. The love to carry forth the work is widely spread abroad. The active aid of all who know the truth is also here. Come forth, O mighty one, and blend these three. Construct a great defending wall. The rule of evil now must end. This is, my friends, one of those times when this particular invocation is very useful. Just want to say hi to Annette and to Asha, Astra, rather, Astra, Pharaoh, sorry, and to Carl, Catherine, Deborah, Eva, Francois, Georgina, Gretchen, Heike, Jessica, Karen, Catherine, Kim, Margot, Martha, Martine, Nathalie, Nessa, Nicole, Nienke, Olivia, Risto, Sandra, Stephen, Tia, Tiu, Vera, Ivan, and Zenaide. And over here on the staff side, Biel, Joe, and Michael Stacy and Tuya are assisting us. This work may be a little bit briefer than usual because tonight we must continue with our American vigil at 8 p.m. GMT. So we have to get all that set up before, so we don't run over here. Now, let's continue with our reading from Program 167 and Reading 104. In the segue, we might say, DK said this, I have made this practical application and the immediate illustration of the teaching, anent, glamour, illusion, and maya, because the whole world problem has reached a crisis today, and because its clarification will be the outstanding theme of all progress, educational, religious, and economic, until 2025 AD. So we see, you know, just take the Alice Bailey CD-ROM sometime and look up 2025, and you will see how often it does appear and what a pivot point it actually is. It's always until 2025 and how much work we have to do until 2025. So from 1965 to 2025, we have been and will be in the era of the forerunner. Then a new teaching will come forth, a new series of bridging treatises will come forth. There's still plenty of work to be done in the 21st century so that spiritual occultism can win the day by the end of this present century. And we don't know what the Tibetan will recommend, but we do know that he will recommend, and that since in the old saying, three's a charm, 1, 2, 3, we know that this next teaching will be extremely important. It's all pretty well done under the second ray of love wisdom, but it has third ray, second ray, and first ray subcomponents. And I suspect that Blavatsky's teaching was pretty much in that third subray component, giving us really the history of the entire planet and even of the solar system. Alice Bailey's teaching was more purely along the second ray, I do believe. And then we, I think, will have quite an expression of the first ray coming as a subcomponent of the general second ray teaching. So I will not go too far tonight, my night, in this, and we will have a, you know, a little chance to share our thoughts. So DK goes on and says, in this section with which we are now concerned, we shall consider the practical ways in which illusion, glamour, and the power of Maya can be brought to an end in the life of the individual, that comes first, and eventually in the life of nations, and finally in the world. I was asked today a question in an earlier in the webinar. One of the attendees wanted to know if we managed to overcome something in our own nature, would it have general benefit to our environment and the world in general? And I can only say Absolutely, yes. We can't really be effective unless the thing we're talking about has at least been somewhat accomplished in our own nature. So, the old saying, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Let there be anything on earth and let it begin with me, as long as it's positive. And that's why when we're working on glamours, we have the individual glamours to deal with if we're going to be effective in attacking a group glamour. We can't be riddled with glamour on an individual basis and hope to accomplish anything in the larger sense. As always, he says, we must begin with the unity of life, the microcosm. Well, sometimes, of course, he does begin in the occult manner from the top down, but okay, in this subject and under these instructions, we begin with the microcosm. Then, having grasped process and progress in connection with the individual, the idea can then be extended to the group, the organization, the nation, and to humanity as a whole. And I think we've been doing quite a bit of that extending. Always the parallels are there, and in DK's work, facility in working with the law of analogy is much to be desired. Maybe that's why he says the fourth ray mind has a big role to play in my work, he says. Thus, gradually, we shall approach the great idea to which we give the name of God, the macrocosm. Interesting to think of God as an idea, but remember, ideas are beings incorporeal. He has several definitions that are all similar. They give shape and form to shapeless substance, but they are beings. Ideas are beings. That doesn't, and even thoughts to a certain extent are composite beings. Each one of us is really an idea, which has taken birth out of the one idea that we call the solar, well, let's go farther, the universal logos. That's a different way of thinking, of course. So, in this case, he has us moving from the microcosm to the macrocosm. And I think really that we have to gain facility in moving in both directions. And it's the same with the mind. There are usually so many barriers in switching to the different aspects of mind, but all of that must become a smooth proposition where we can sort of shift gears seamlessly and go from bottom to top and top to bottom. Naturally, there being no top or bottom, but we're talking about vibratory points of tension and moving with ease from one to the other. And that takes skill and action on the mental plane or the planes which are involved in mentality, concrete mind, son of mind, abstract mind, transcendental mind, nirvanic mind. Okay, we shall in this section deal with techniques, and these might be summarized as follows. So, the old saying about how to be an effective teacher, tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them what you told them. So, in this particular case, we are the them, and DK is, telling us what he's going to tell us. The very first and maybe highest technique which is not principally the one that we've been using, is called the technique of the presence. By means of this technique, the soul assumes control of the integrated personality. Notice that a person who has a fragmented, frictional, unevenly developed personality is not going to be really a candidate for the use of this technique. The soul assumes control of the integrated personality and of its relations, horizontal and vertical. So the cross is there, the cross of personality, probably the what we find to be the mutable cross when we study esoteric astrology. But the soul is in control. Does soul exist beyond the higher mind? Absolutely, because soul is consciousness. There is such a thing we might call the soul of the spiritual triad. As a matter of fact, the spiritual triad is the ego and is a truer soul than the encapsulated consciousness on the higher mental plane. Does the soul exist in relation to the monad? Yes, it does. Because the monad has awareness, therefore it has soul. It has consciousness. The soul is a universal principle and is found at the heart of various ascending and descending configurations of form, however subtle the forms may be. Does the universal logos have soul? Absolutely. It is consciousness. So from being, pure being, the heart of the monad, soul arises, consciousness arises, and through that consciousness, matter is created through self-observation. This is, it's all a psychological universe in which we live, and the more we begin to understand that, the more we'll grasp the nature of that subtle reality in which we appear to be living as some kind of separated unit. Anyway, the soul assumes control of the integrated personality and of its relations, horizontal and vertical. This technique involves the unfolding of the flower of the intuition, the causal body exists. There, the causal body has a degree of intuitive power, but it's simply a reflection of that which exists on higher levels, the Buddhic plane and beyond. And if we want to think about what intuition really is, we've got to get to the cosmic planes and not just the reflection of intuition on the cosmic physical plane, including the Buddhic reflection that we normally call intuition. Anyway, intuition has to be unfolded because, you know, it is intuition which dispels illusion, isn't it? It is light that dispels glamour, but intuition or dissipates glamour, and it is intuition which dispels illusion. There seems to be quite a difference between dispelling, suddenly it's just not there, and dissipation, which is a weakening and a scattering. And then, of course, the dispersion of Maya. So maybe that we're not ready yet, and we'll be more ready in some thousands of years, but this technique involves the unfolding of the flower of the intuition, dispelling illusion, you know, the misinterpretations of the concrete mind in general. We'll be studying illusion more closely, revealing the angel of the presence, who is a projection of the solar angel. So as illusion is dispelled, the angel is revealed, the angel of the presence, indicating the presence or the monad within the causal vehicle and the monad within its triple personality of Atma Buddhi Manas, the personality of the monad is Atma Buddhi Manas. The personality of the soul is a lower mind, astrality, and etheric physical nature. So this is the key, and it opens up to the disciple the world of ideas, and which is the world of higher beings, and the door of the higher initiations. So the content of the spiritual triad is opened to the advanced disciple through this technique of the presence. I once wrote a meditation elaborating on DK's indications, a meditation on the technique of the presence, and I think we'll have an opportunity at a certain point to use that. Okay, through the disciple's grasp and application of these divine ideas or seed thoughts, and remember, it's not just that ideas come only from the Buddhic plane. They come archetypally from the monadic plane. They descend from the logoic plane, from the cosmic astral, from the cosmic mental. I mean, there's no end to the capaciousness, the broad extent of ideas as we begin to ascend through the cosmic planes. But we're used to the idea that we're used to the thought that the realm of ideas begins for us on the Buddhic plane. And I might say the realm of immediately experienced ideas begins on the Buddhic plane, because when we're dealing with the abstract mind, yes, we're dealing with high abstract thoughts, but the very ideational essence of them may not impact us. They may simply still be thoughts and therefore not ideas. Somewhere in the books, DK does make a distinction between abstract thoughts and true, immediately experienced ideas, which Master Moria calls, he calls the method straight knowledge, and it's unmediated. Usually the building of forms in upon mental levels is a mediation between the direct experience of an idea and the perceiver. But that mediation is lifted once we exit the lower 21 subplanes, which are densely material in terms of the solar logos. Then we get into the realm of immediacy, directly experienced centers of energy without mental mediation. Obviously, a lot of what we're doing here is mentally mediating, but gradually, intuition becomes so immediately impressive that we will not need the mental mediation. Through the disciple's grasp and application of these divine ideas or seed thoughts, where do seed thoughts really come from? They start in the realm of the triad, apparently. He becomes initiate. And the third initiation becomes possible as an immediate goal. Now, that is the first true initiation. And probably we're not going to be using this technique of the presence unless we, well, with full effect, unless we are a confirmed initiate of the third degree. And, you know, I'd be very cautious about ever asserting such a thing. The intuition is, oh, this is interesting. The intuition is the applied power of transfiguration. So this is another way of saying, that's such a ponderable sentence, you know. And, you know, it's not the kind of thing that immediately is understood with fullness. The intuition is the applied power of transfiguration. And I want to put in another thought. I'm going to be more careful when I say the word idea. This is the movement from the three to the four. I think maybe you'll know what I mean by that. From the third initiation to the fourth, from the realm of abstract mind to the realm of intuition. This technique is related to the little known yoga, but increasingly known, called Agni Yoga, the yoga of fire. Fire is synthetic. And this another name for this yoga is the yoga of synthesis. Now, DK has differentiated, and he's talked about the yoga of synthesis being presented in the first ray mode, the way Master Moria presents it, and also in a second ray mode. It's not that Master DK has not attempted to present something of the yoga of synthesis, but he's done it more in a second ray manner. And maybe we could, you know, be able to pick out of his writings the areas where he has begun to do that. So, you know, this is a potent paragraph and needs, wouldn't you say, a lot of pondering. We'll be given more on the technique of the presence, but all of us have the objective of realizing that we are the presence. We are the presence of monadic essence in the higher sense, of monadic awareness, of monadic quality, and finally, of monadic being. We are that. So it's the technique of the self, really, of the presentation of the self as it really is to our usual state of consciousness, even if that state of consciousness is becoming relatively high. There's always an essence, and that essence is being. It is the very heart of what the monad is. And it looks like that essence, as it appears on the soul level, the level of the higher mind, is what we are accessing, taking that particular position and thereby controlling our normal personality expression, horizontally and vertically. There's, you know, obviously these are like seed thoughts that the Tibetan has given us, and they require expansion. The technique of light we have been working with. That's our usual glamour meditation, and probably the one that we can handle in relation to glamour with the greatest ease. I think we still have a way to go before the technique of the presence is as meaningful to us as the technique of light. By means of this technique, says the Tibetan, the illumined mind, with its instrument, the Agnes Center, assumes control over the astral or emotional body and dissipates clamor. Well, those are familiar ideas, aren't they? And some people have been working a long time with that general technique. The illumined mind, the fifth ray, is important in this technique. And stepping out of kama manas, or desire-tinged mind, is important. And remember that in kama manas, there's more kama than manas. So we learn sometimes our solar plexus puts us on rapport with what's going on the emotional plane. You can almost feel that. And then the Ajna Center gets active and deals with that which you begin to feel as possibly glamorous in yourself or in general in the emotional body of humanity. When the light pours in, glamour fades out. Every once in a while, you know, a sentence occurs which is noteworthy, simple, and memorable. When the light pours in, glamour fades out. And, you know, we try to move from the red condition of the astral body toward the rose and the pink and, you know, whiter and whiter, as it were, lighter and lighter. But this is a principle to be noted. Illumination dominates and the vision of reality can be seen because heretofore the glamour has masked reality. And that is so much the case with, I don't know, maybe half of humanity these days. Certainly in the United States, it's about half, a little less than half. In this post-truth era, as it is called, when lying simply for the purpose of achieving a personal objective is seen as perfectly okay, we need the light of revelation to show people what they are really doing and what they are concealing from themselves through kind of a fervid condition in the sixth ray conditioned astral body. People just don't see what they're doing. You know, it takes us back to what Jesus was saying on the cross in his appeal to the Father, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And so many of us, you know, that's where our educative work comes in. We have to know what we are doing, which saves us in a way from Maya, that so-called unthinking emotional mess. What a definition. We have to know what we're doing, and we have to know the way to reveal to those who are possibly open to the revelation what they are actually doing to conceal reality. Of course, for many, it will be lives and lives before they care much about what we call reality. But still, there are some who can cross the boundary. And that is where our work comes in. So illumination dominates and the vision of reality can be seen. And a great corrective enters. This technique is related to Raja Yoga, the kingly science of the soul, and its goal is the second initiation. Because at the second initiation, many of the glamours, characteristic glamours, are dispersed or, well, dissipated, let's say, weakened and fall apart, disintegrated. Agni Yoga is leading into true initiation. Raja Yoga, well, there are very advanced methods of Raja Yoga too, which lead into true initiation. But in general, we can use the advice given in the light of the soul in the Yoga Sutras to clear our Kama monastic tendencies and to clear our astral body so that we can, with many glamours behind us, take the second initiation. I guess that's why, you know, in a way, the fifth ray would be important in the taking of the second initiation along with the second ray. So you've got Venus, fifth ray, Jupiter, second ray, Neptune, sixth ray and second ray. So the solar plexus attunement is there. And people in DK's Dissipation of Glamour group, all of them, I don't think there was one that didn't have a potent sixth ray somewhere. They needed that to be put in on rapport with the condition of the astral plane. But then, you know, they also needed that fifth ray penetration, that fifth ray factuality, stability of mind. One of the leading characters in that group had an unusual ray structure, which was ideally suited to fulfilling his function in the Dissipation of Glamour group. He had a first ray soul, fifth ray personality, a fifth ray mind, imagine, and then a sixth ray astral body and a seventh ray physical body or brain. He probably had a second ray monad. What little I know of this individual points in that direction, and I would say that most of the first ray soul types in DK's groups have the second ray monad, including Foster Bailey, you know, Mary Bailey. She always thought her rays were the same as Foster Bailey's rays. So quite a connection there on the first ray between those two very powerful individuals. Anyway, the kingly science of the soul. So I can't say the science of science, I have to say the science of the soul. And it produces the ability to tread the path of discipleship, which involves mental focus, if not yet quite mental polarization, achieved between the second and third degree, enables the man to live a life enlightened by divinity. Now just test yourself on that one. Have you set up the conditions in your psyche so that you are indeed enabled to live a life enlightened by divinity? Illumination is the applied power of transformation. And what did he say earlier about transfiguration? Transformation, I guess, although we can't be rigid about it, we apply transfiguration to the third degree, transformation to the second degree, and to the astral body. And transmutation to the first degree and probably to the etheric physical body. But I've also seen, you know, higher correspondences of transmutation applied to very high levels of the human energy system. But at least that's one way, one preliminary way of thinking. transmutation, transformation, transfiguration, translation. Now, once you translate everything that's been going on in the dense physical body of the solar logos into the spiritual triad, and especially onto the Buddhic plane, that's translation. You're speaking a whole nother spiritual language, more intimately spiritual, as a result of your growing ashramic intimacy once the Antahkarana is built and you find yourself within the spiritual triad. I think I will read through this particular summary also. That'll be it for today in terms of the reading, because, you know, we have to stop in time for our still important vigil. The technique of indifference, divine indifference, we are to achieve, but it can mean several things. We have to learn what we shall attend to in a concentrated way and what we can simply dismiss because of what DK calls, colloquially, maybe a certain don't care attitude, a certain don't care attitude. And it allows you to go further than otherwise you might if you worried about and cared about every little thing. So the technique of the presence, the technique of light, and the technique of indifference, that is the third one. And they're all in this book, which deals with glamour in a general sense. By means of this technique, Maya is ended. You know, the unthinking emotional mess, you know, running here and there, not knowing what you're doing, but getting all worked up about it anyway. Every once in a while, he says such outlandish things that it really calls your attention to them. For the control of the purified astral vehicle is consciously and technically brought into activity, producing the freeing of the energies of the etheric body, because the etheric body does carry many different kinds of energies, and for the average human being, it carries an awful lot of the astral energy. So when you purify the astral body and maybe reduce the number of astral energies that inhabit the etheric body, you've created a more controlled situation when the white magic of the soul can actually work without getting distorted on the way down, you know, passing through the lower frequencies and lower vibrations. Maya's ended. For the control of the purified astral vehicle is consciously and technically brought into activity, producing the freeing of the energies of the etheric body from the control of force substance, and bringing, so like an earlier initiation, a Lemurian initiation, and bringing men in large numbers onto the probationary path, where there is, onto the probationary path. So this technique of indifference is very applicable to a movement that we're seeing occur now, and which will occur as part of the updrawing of human beings towards a higher type of light and vibration, which is caused by the approach of the hierarchy and the Christ. Many more will use this kind of technique, and whether consciously or not, and be drawn toward the path of probation, which sometimes called the path of aspiration, path of discipleship, path of initiation. These are the three paths And Alice Bailey always said, look, the Arcane School is a training school for disciples, and so there will be people who will drop out. You know, they will be self-eliminating because they're not ready for the kind of mental discipline and steadiness and applied will which discipleship entails. Where there is, and this is why maybe it's called the technique of indifference, where there is divine indifference to the call or pull of matter, then inspiration becomes possible. So this has a lot to do with the way this technique operates and the simple thing of being divinely indifferent, not to one's own responsibilities, not at all, but rather to the lower vibrations originating on the moon chain and even further back in the previous major solar system. And when you have that certain don't care attitude about them, yes, they're there, but I don't care because my mind, my heart and mind are fixed upon something higher, then we can be inspired from above and not have that suffocating experience that comes when matter chokes us and chokes off the inflow of the higher vibrations. The technique is related to karma yoga. Well, we've had Raja yoga in the second technique. We've had Agni yoga in the third technique. The third, which is first, which is third, okay. So three types of yoga. So note the three types of yoga: Agni, Raja, and Karma. This is the yoga of right action here, which of course is not abrogated just because one passes on to Raja yoga. We still sustain the values of the previous yogas beyond which we are passing. And so, where there is divine indifference to the call or pull of matter, then inspiration becomes possible because we just don't fixate on that call or that pull and waste our energy fulfilling that call or that pull. All right, a little more, just a little more. This technique is related to karma yoga in the most practical form, in its most practical form. So obviously there are other forms than the most practical. And the use of matter with complete impersonality, and I would say it's going to be a technique much developed in the Aquarian Age, where we will have spiritual materialism. The spiritual materialism of the Aquarian Age. It's not that we ignore matter, it's just that we transmute it and develop its higher potentials. The goal of this technique is the first initiation, which enables man to live a life inspired by God. And, you know, maybe that's that is the, we can call it the Holy Spirit inspiration. Inspiration is the applied power of transmission. So the chaos of our normal etheric body and its connection to the dense physical is dispersed. There are, you know, these are real ponderables. We have to get into these statements. Inspiration is the applied power of transmission, obviously from above. Once the chaos ceases and the veil of impulsion is negated, that's the very first job, then you can negate the veil of distortion and the veil of separation, and eventually the veil of aspiration. Those are all etheric things to do that are talked about in rule number 10. So inspiration is the applied power of transmission. I mean, these are wonderful seed thoughts to, you know, I can't even get to the bottom of them right now. But we can, if we work hard, get to the bottom. And now I'm going to make this one big also, because it is, illumination is the applied power of transformation. We're changing the structures in the astral body, which let in the light. We'll put all, you know, these three together as to be pondered, you know, ponder on this, and the one above it, it's really the mark of a really good teacher here, that he's giving us this triple idea. And the intuition is the applied power of transfiguration, an entire change in energy is occurring as the first of the solar initiations is taken. Okay? The first of the solar initiations is taken. So those three sentences really need attention. And we can, you know, in a little webinar like this, we can point out what needs further attention from you, and then you can give it when you have more time, when, because we, you know, we don't have that kind of time right now. So basically, it was page 171 to 172, but you know, it's very rich material, and I'll just transfer this down here to where it belongs, so I don't get lost next time, but then Michael can help me out if I get lost. And here we go. This is the end of number 167, reading 104, and page 171, looks like, I think so, to 172. And then the next time we get together will be the, so this is the 27th, and it looks like December the 4th. Next time. And it'll be a morning program. And it will be program 168 and reading 105. And it'll be as far as we get, which maybe won't be so far, from page 172. Now we're taking them up in greater detail as you see. So now the next thing will be a discussion, a fuller, looks like quite a full discussion of the technique of the presence. Can that be 18 pages? That we're going to be working with? Well, if so, we can prepare for quite a download of information. Okay, we only have a half hour left that at the most, so if there are any thoughts that you'd like to share before we do our meditation. And basically, I would say we would have 10, 15 minutes for thoughts, and then would come the meditation, and we'll still continue to meditate upon this kind of blind and rebellious idealism. I think that is blind, rebellious idealism. You know, you can't force anything on me. I'm an American, you know, that kind of stupidity, but it does go along with the sixth ray at a certain point of development. Okay, anything that you would like to say or bring up at this point? And I'll ask Michael to field the questions, and any one of the staff people can, you know, if you need to just come in and say something, then you can do that. Okay.
So I am looking for hands and or questions and comments posted in the chat box. And give people a moment or so to respond.
That's good. That's good. So much going on, you know. It's, you know, on the outer plane, on the inner plane, we have just what a intersection of energies, and in many ways, what a confusion of energies, and how we have to keep our mind in an organized state in order to work with that society of organized and illumined minds that we call the hierarchy. Because, you know, if we don't have at this point anything that anyone wants to write or to say, then we will get right on with the meditation.
Well, I found it yeah. interesting that in the reading today, there was a confirmation of an insight I received in my meditation this morning about we have to dispel our own glamours, our own distortions of reality, before we can effectively work at addressing those glamours out in the world.
Yeah, you know, it seems a very reasonable thing to understand that that is the case. But, you know, so oftentimes we plunge into something and we want to do it in a somewhat unprepared state. And there's something about this path of spiritual occultism which requires a lot of methodical work and a great deal of patience over long periods of time. It's true that things are accelerating. They are, indeed. But still, it doesn't happen in a day. And anything, and any, DK tells us that any really rapid progress, which seems to suddenly occur, has been long and well prepared before that time. So the law holds: make haste slowly and gradually, and then when the time is right, these things come into accessibility and expression.
And we have Kim asking for that word for taking care of Maya, dissipating glamour, dispelling illusion. And what's that word for Maya?
Dispersing. So divine indifference and dispersing Maya. So you'd have to sit down with yourself and say, well, what are the differences between dispelling, dissipating, and dispersing? And of course, Maya is thicker and more material than any of the others. You know, the bubble of illusion just suddenly disappears. The glamour weakens and disintegrates, and it's almost like you, with Maya, you disperse the clouds. And doesn't that kind of remind you of the of the work of Spain. I'm trying to remember every country has its own motto, doesn't it? And if we turn maybe to page 50, it might be, and we go down here to Spain and we see, I disperse the clouds. That's their, different from Italy, they both have six ray souls, but clouds, oh, they can be clouds of glamour, but they can also be these thick, chaotic impulsions, which clog up the etheric plane. And when you think about Spain having a seventh ray personality and a sixth ray soul, the dispersion comes through the sixth ray, but the target is the seventh ray, and that involves the etheric plane. So whenever you find a similar word used in an important way, you can kind of trace a line of light and see something about the fate of another energy center, or maybe nation, you know, community, whatever. You can learn something from similarity of numbers, similarity of colors, similarity of tone, similarity of words, in this case, Maya, and dispersion. Yeah.
And then Heike writes, if we dispel our own glamour, we have dispelled it for the whole of humanity. I can't explain it, but I have, quote unquote, seen that.
Well, let's just say, you know, my opinion on this, Heike, is that we have contributed to the dispelling, or in this case, it would be dissipation of glamour for the whole. But it will take a while, I believe, and the ability to stand with masked intent, maybe under a discovered Vulcan, before, and maybe some centuries even, before some kind of final successful attack can be made upon the glamour of the world. First will come, in other words, the trained observers, the second seed group, will really have to come into expression. The first thing that will be done will be the reduction of chaos under the seventh ray in relation to Maya. And certainly, you know, when we begin to see a world in which glamour is unreal, it may seem as if, why doesn't everybody see that? Maybe they do. But my opinion, at least at this time, is that that's the next order of business after the dispersal of Maya. And then, and only then, and will it be during this Aquarian age? I don't know. Illusion will be attacked. But more people have to have a mental focus in order for the illusion to be attacked in a successful way. And remember, Aquarius is a very mental sign, and so are all the air signs from one of their modes of interpretation. And so I think there will be progress in understanding our usual concrete-minded, astrally impelled illusions during the age of Aquarius, and much dispelling going on, but not entirely. I think we're going to have to get into the age of Capricorn, which will bring forward many more third-degree initiates than will be brought forward during the age of Aquarius. But, you know, anyway, it's a big deal to find oneself cleared of certain glamours that masked reality. It revealed something quite different than what we thought was there. So we persist in that.
Yvonne asks a very good question. How indifferent should we get for divine indifference?
Wow. Okay. Well, that's like one of those Zen koans, you know. We cannot let our attachment to certain external phenomenal illusions bind us, trammel us, tie us down. We have to be free of them through the certain don't care attitude. And I would not be able in any kind of conscience to say how far we go. Because it's a very individual thing. Let's see if I can find this certain. I can't say I can find it, but I'll try. Certain don't care. Let's see. What does it say? DK seems to almost speak from exasperation. When will disciples learn that the attitude which involves a certain don't care reaction and a form of indifference is one of the quickest ways by which to release the self, i.e. the soul in this case, from personality claims? This is not the don't care spirit which will affect the disciples' attitude to other people. It is the attitude of the integrated thinking personality of the disciple towards the astral or emotional vehicle. It leads him to assume the position that not one single thing which produces any reaction of pain or distress in the emotional body matters in the very least. These reactions are simply recognized, lived through, tolerated, and not permitted to produce any limitation. All disciples would do well to ponder what I've just said. The whole process is based on a deep-seated belief in the persistence of the immortal being within the forms of soul and personality. I find this to be very powerful description of how we can use the don't care attitude. And you know, he probably, you know, goes on with it. 3-3. But the one that I just read, I mean, that's the main one. That's the main one. Yeah, and really the only one. Because sometimes, you know, the words are spread out and they aren't really relating to each other. So that's the one. And just study it. Talks to Disciples, Part 4, in Discipleship in the New Age, page 57. This is hard to fulfill, but it gives us a sense of how far we can go or should go in our don't care attitude. Very hard to fulfill, I think, you know, for many of us. I know I find it hard, and I imagine others do too. But okay, there it is.
And perhaps the last comment before going into the meditation from Kim. Since everything is a totality, whatever progress we make affects the whole.
Yeah, we'd have to agree with that. And then, of course, there are no alibis. It's not a word you normally hear these days anymore, but the word alibi, meaning excuses, is something that Alice Bailey always tried to negate. You know, don't give me an alibi. This person accepts no alibis, no excuses for not doing their duty. Every one of us, whatever we do counts, and it may affect most those in our immediate vicinity, but given the kind of communications we now have, it can affect widely many members of humanity. You never know who you're related to out there and how, if you rise, they rise, and if you fall, they fall. Those links are not perfectly clear, and we may be tied to people who we will never know personally, but our rising or falling does make a difference to them. So I would certainly agree that that is the case. Okay, then. Thank you. And we're going to you know, when I see these people rioting out there in the streets and and you know, and some have said, well, we just like a good fight. We just want to fight. Some of the Proud Boys, and they're called one of the militias. So every once in a while, you get somebody that tells you how it really is inside the group. Well, we just want a good fight. Obviously, the Martian vibration is non-sacred, even though it can be used for sacred purposes to elevate the lunar lords. So it makes me think, you know, how irrational we're being. And yeah, as has been the case with the COVID-19 pandemic, some of the people who were among the foremost to say, this is nothing. This is just the flu. This is the numbers are being manipulated. There is really no pandemic. And then they get it, or someone close to them gets it, and they change their tune. I'm even looking at Boris Johnson, Prime Minister in England, and you know, he got it pretty seriously. And his tune changed. So sometimes the impact of the immediate experience is just what is needed. And it's sometimes quite ironic as to who does get the disease. Some of those who are foremost among the deniers manage to get it, and things change for them. Now, what isn't realized is that the forces of darkness, the so-called Black Lodge, has its healers too. It's not that they don't understand how to keep the personality together so that it does not succumb. And if an instrument out there is bad enough or good enough, you know, bad is good, they can mitigate the circumstances and keep that person alive and keep them from experiencing the full brunt of the disease, which otherwise they might have. It depends on whether they are judged as the esoteric version of useful idiots I think Stalin made that that phrase kind of popular. People who basically are working against their own cause and working for their enemies, but they don't even know it. So they are idiotic in that respect. But badly inclined people, you know, the soul is never bad in per se, but the personality can be evil, can be sustained in their health through the healing powers of the Lodge of Darkness. And that is certainly rarely considered as a possibility, but it is. All right, here we go. So our work today, and it must be continued because of the relentless attack on truth and on law and on the will of people, continues. And the masses, with almost a slavish devotion, are reacting as useful idiots. They are serving the intentions of people who have complete contempt for them, but they don't know it. And they serve because of their blind and rebellious idealism, accompanied on the part of the demagogues by cynical manipulation. So we enter the silence. And we feel ourselves coming together as an instrument for hierarchy in that silence. And we use the long-armed cross of divinity tracing light as we go. We pronounce together the protective formula, these powers of the counterforce are not messing around these days, and if you get in their way, you'll be sadder before wiser. So, as a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. We bring then the triple lights together, light of matter and of lower mind. On the lower mental plane, we bring them together. As if matter can fuel and feed the light. The light of reason is one light, and the light of matter, vitality, is another light. And then we reach into the realm of soul imaginatively. And we try to sense the light of the soul. It's a deeper consciousness through a higher light. And we bring it down to join the other two lights, the light of soul, light of reasoning mind, and the light of matter. We blend the three so that our thoughts are vitalized and inspired also from above. And we say together, the light is one. And in that light shall we see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day. Om. Then we reach the stage of the formula. And as we say that, a great searchlight is visualized, which shines its beam upon the astral plane with which we have come en rapport. It helps to come en rapport with the phenomena of the astral plane if we're going to be able to detect and dissipate those clouds, veils, obstructions, currents, whatever we want to call them. Radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth. The inner world of meaning and the outer or subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus, with the light, we work and turn the darkness into day. And so our beam, our great searchlight, imaginatively at least, extends out into the astral plane and will undertake its mission of detection and its mission of destruction, weakening and destruction of the glamorous forms which mislead so many. Further, we strengthen the beam with a little affirmation. With power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. And we remind ourselves of the nature of this glamour and how much it has taken away from human progress over the years and still continues to do so. The glamour of blind, rebellious idealism. And the point is, it is exacerbated by cynical manipulation of the demagogues who are possessed by this glamour of manipulation. Blind, rebellious idealism. And so, we use these words of power and before we enter our 5 minutes of internal silence, we say the words of power. The power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of blind, rebellious idealism. Maybe you can see it most at big political rallies, whether from 80, 90 years ago, when the Nazis took over Germany, or even now in a lesser form, the crowd is possessed because of their idealism, which is blind and uncaring about the welfare of others. It is rebellious on behalf of the personality. The power of our united light negates the quality of this glamour from affecting the human race. The power of our united light destroys the life behind this glamour of blind, rebellious idealism. whipped up into a frenzy by cynical, demagogic manipulators. And so we'll take our 5 minutes of silence and intensity of purpose. We'll see the light of our beam penetrating into the glamour and producing its weakening and dissipation. 5 minutes of silence. We withdraw our beam to the mental plane. And we redistribute the lights to their origin. And we sound three times the Om. Believing that some work has been done to help in this dissipation of the glamour of blind, rebellious, that is not caring about others, narrow idealism that makes of fellow human beings the enemy. Some work has been done to help weaken and dissipate that glamour. Okay, friends. Michael, if you'd be so kind as to put in the link to the visual for the USA in the chat box, if that is handy. In just 15 minutes, we're going to continue our work. I'll be offering this one. It won't have the beautiful music that Tuya so often uses, but I'll offer it anyway because we have many circumstances and much work that has to be done. So that will be a Zoom meeting. And those of you who can come along, then you're most welcome. Tomorrow evening, nothing tomorrow morning here, but tomorrow evening, our work on the soul of nations. And I think on Sunday, then we're getting into the full moon cycle. And I think maybe tomorrow night too, at 5 p.m. GMT, we're offering the sacred pentagram. That's it. And then on Sunday, sacred pentagram plus pre-full moon. And then on Monday, actually in what is the morning here in Europe, we offer the exact moment of full moon service meditation. And on we go in the normal way. You can check what Michael has sent, I think, to everybody. And if you're not on the constant contact list, please write to us. Especially to Michael and or to Joe and BL, and we'll make sure that you are on the list so that you have the schedule. Okay, then that'll be it for right now. Lots of love to you. This will be ready before long up on Makara. You can review it or you can tell your friends about it. We appreciate your presence. Love and many blessings. And BL, you can let me know whether we were successful in recording in the beginning or not. I'll send this to you anyway, and you can use the one that is best. See you quite shortly, and bye for now.